It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. It's always good to be with you. If you joined us last week, we left off in the middle of an interview. I was talking with my good friend Greg Jarvis over the air. Greg is a Christian counselor who himself struggles with clinical depression. We played part one of that interview. We're going to play part two. Just to recap a little bit for the context, there are different kinds of depression. I mentioned that when I'm depressed, I know why I'm depressed. There are things going on in the circumstances of my life that are bothering me. But there's another kind of depression where people are just depressed and they don't know the reason. And some people think it's because of chemicals in their body. And we talked about how our emotions can produce chemicals, but also chemicals in our body can influence emotions. So it becomes kind of a which came first, the chicken or the egg. So that's where we left off. We continue now with this stimulating interview with Greg Jarvis. I really appreciate his honesty, his openness, his candor. Let's listen in.
We should always try to maintain a balance in our life. God's a balanced God. He created us for balance. And so we should definitely be looking at those other areas and doing what we can. And when we see those one of those areas suffering, that we try to deal with it and that we try to combat what depression will tend to lead us to, or a path that it will tend to lead us down. So I'm not sure you can talk about how when you feel depressed and the things that bring that about in you and what you do, because oftentimes people isolate, they get away from people and avoid people, which is sometimes one of the worst things you can do.
In fact, I think that's very common when people are depressed. They just don't want to be around others.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely. Now, make a distinction. There are some people who are introverts who truly don't care to be around others a lot, or most of the time they don't get their batteries charged, so to say, being around others. They get their batteries charged being on their own.
Right, and that's perfectly fine. In fact, as a writer, I'm often an introvert, but as a radio talk show host, I'm often an extrovert, depending on which 50% of my life I'm living. There might be a day when I do want to just have some time to kick back on the beach and be by myself, and I'd be very disappointed if I ran into somebody I knew who invited me to join them.
Unless they were inviting you to Pinnacle Peak.
Well, that always goes without saying, Greg.
Right, right. Well, I probably should have let it go without saying. So we want to look out for the pitfalls that can add to it. And another pitfall that adds to it is focusing on it in and of itself. And the feelings that come with depression are often our mood changes, our attitude toward ourselves change. We start feeling negative feelings about us, about others, about the situation, about the world. And there's plenty of things in each of those to feel bad about. It definitely has an effect, but we are honest enough to struggle.
Exactly.
And, and that's so important. That's what, not only spiritually, but that's what we need if we're going through depression or any other limiting or debilitating thing that hits us. We want to be honest enough to struggle.
And then to realize that in that honesty, we're going to provoke somebody else's honesty. They're going to be sharing their struggle, and suddenly we're not going to feel as alone.
Absolutely. That's the goal. That's the whole point of community, I think, is to be able to lift each other up. But This is those Christians we talked about earlier that throw a verse at us. We're to lift each other up, but oftentimes we need to come down to someone's level before we try to lift them. Otherwise, we're throwing them ladders, and ladders are hitting them in the head instead of getting with them in their struggle and sharing, because there's a lot of people out there in boundaries.
As Christians, we tend to want to rush in really quickly and fix everybody, don't we?
Oh, absolutely we do. And I guess what makes that so damaging with depression is you didn't get depressed either circumstantially or physiologically overnight. It was a gradual process, and then you woke up and found yourself in that condition, and it won't be a quick and easy one-day fix. It's going to be gradual, which makes it hard. We don't like walking through things. We don't like waiting. We want salvation. Let me back that up. We want deliverance. We don't want salvation. Whereas deliverance from something is getting out. That's the goal.
I think the book of Job was written because here was a guy who, we know that it was circumstantial, but still, here's a guy that became as depressed as one could be. And his friends for 7 days just sat at his bed and did what you were saying. They came to his level. They kept their mouth shut. But then after 7 days, they couldn't resist giving him advice. And the advice they gave him, if you compare it, some of the advice in the book of Job to the advice in the book of Proverbs, it was good advice in and of itself in its own right. It did not apply to Job. And they were making things worse for their friend. I think a lot of times Christians, they're so eager to rush in like a knight in shining armor and help that they end up doing far more damage than helping.
Absolutely true. And I want to underline here too, because you kind of mentioned with emphasis that it was circumstantial. But circumstances can lead to, like we mentioned before, it can lead to depression. So if we're depressed, we don't want to say, oh, it's just what I'm going through. It's just the marriage. It's just the job. It's just that. No. Those things can weigh so heavily on us. And whether they should or shouldn't isn't the issue. This isn't a time for should and should nots, because that's not what Scripture is about. Scripture is not about shoulds and should nots, but that's how Christians a lot of times approach it and then throw it at others. It's about relationship that can be had and that we can walk through life in a renewed relationship with God.
And isn't it true too, Greg, that circumstances can affect us in ways that we were not necessarily aware? Sometimes there might be things we went through as little kids. Maybe some of them we've forgotten about as we've gotten older. Maybe things we've remembered, but the impact of them we never quite saw. And they start affecting our emotions as adults because they're things that haven't been dealt with. And then that has an effect on our biochemistry, et cetera, et cetera.
Absolutely. We are so wonderfully, incredibly made. And if anyone's ever had the experience of hearing a song in the background or smelling a smell and suddenly some emotion comes,
it can wake up something that was laying dormant for a long time.
Absolutely. And oftentimes it's a wonderful memory, but sometimes it can be an awful memory, and it can also then weigh on us and begin to change us. So,
the emotions never forget. Even if our cognitive functions forgot about it, our emotions did not forget. So somebody else comes along and we're walking along with this open wound. Somebody comes near us and all they do is touch the wound and we feel like we're being stabbed all over again. And the other poor person is saying, well, what did I do? All I did was gently brush against you.
They have no understanding of it. That's exactly right. And we don't have control over those things. And it's important to realize that, because I think we want to have control in our pride a lot of times. We want to be in control. We don't want to feel weak. We don't want to feel out of control. We don't want to depend on anyone else, and that oftentimes includes God. But what we really need instead of deliverance from something is salvation. We need to be redeemed. We need the goal to be God Himself. And this is not an easy, quick fix, but I really think it's important. And it has to do with, let me bring in Psalm 44. I think it's real important to not give in to depressive symptoms, but to deal with them. Some people would say we'd fight them, you know, like you fight cancer, and that's fine if you want to word it that way. But to deal with them, and one thing we don't want to do is talk ourselves further into depression. I'm depressed. I'm a worthless worm. I'm no good. I'm terrible. I'm all these things that tend to pile up. What we want to do is what the psalmist did in Psalm 44. And David's asking, why are you in despair, my soul? Why this? Why that? Do you not realize what God has done? Do you not realize this? In other words, he talked, rather than having the self talk to us, because the self is depressed. It's such a powerful passage and so important, not just for, I mean, what we're talking about for depression, but for everybody too, because my life isn't, I would love it if my life would start each day with, as a deer pants after water, so my soul pants after God. It's, I love that. I want that. And that cuts me all the way to my core. And that even when I'm depressed, this is going to be my next point, even when I'm depressed, that does something. It's like a penetrating, it's like a lighthouse light penetrating fog.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
Hi, I'm Dana Wright, here to talk about Bob Siegel's book, I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... The title itself is an open-ended question. You fill in the rest. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? How will God judge people who never heard of Jesus? Can a scientific mind really accept miracles? These are but some of the concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book has been enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians alike. I'd Like to Believe in Jesus, But... by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Hi, I'm Bob Siegel, here to talk about my latest book, The Many Myths About Ministry. As you know, I'm a Christian apologist, but let me tell you something. In my many years of interactions with skeptics, doubters, and even seekers, I have found that the vast majority of their problems with Christianity stem from previous church experiences. Yes, what's more, many of their concerns are valid and serve as inspiration for this book. While defending the truth of the Bible and the importance of the gospel message, I nevertheless take an honest look at the way Christians interact with each other. From the larger issues of putting our leaders on too high a pedestal, to the unfair judging of the way another person worships, to the unsolicited advice which claims to have been led by the Spirit of God. Of course, and I do believe the Spirit of God speaks, I do, but a lot of times Christians are putting words in his mouth. Who are we kidding? My friends, this simple, easy read will strike a chord of familiarity with anyone involved in church life. It's a call to lay aside the unimportant issues that distract us and return to the heart of Christian community.
The Many Myths About Ministry by Bob Siegel. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
We can maybe not know why we're depressed, but we do know that by moving closer to God, something good is going to happen.
Absolutely. That may not take that depression away, and that's fine.
You're always so honest when you come on our radio show, and especially today. Many Christians would not come out and admit that they struggle with this, and I think in doing so, you're touching a lot of other people that are struggling with it. So thank you for that.
Well, you're absolutely welcome. Right, because that's all I know to be is just who I am. So I guess that is a good thing. And hopefully God will use that. And that's the key to all of this, Bob, that I don't want to let go unheard. And I really want to underline is rather than let our depression talk to us and lead us down that dark path, we want to talk to ourselves. We want to talk to that depression. And I'm not talking about positive thinking and all that. That's a bunch of hooey as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it does have an effect, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about speaking truth into a situation that you know is true and talking to yourself, preaching to yourself, knowing the goodness of God, knowing Jesus's mercy and grace and knowing the truth and basking in the truth, because for those who are Christians, at least my experience, when I read truth, it is cutting, it is dividing between bone and marrow. It goes deep to the soul. And I know I've talked to friends of mine that are non-Christians, like at work. They don't get it. They don't have a clue of what I'm talking about. That there are times when I'll hear a verse or I will read scripture and dwell on a truth, and it is incredibly uplifting and sometimes mind-blowing. Now, that doesn't take depression away, but it helps put us on better foundation, especially a better foundation than letting the depression talk.
Absolutely.
And that's part of that's part of the way we were created for community and relationship, first and foremost with God. Keep that built up and then turn to someone else nearby. Don't close yourself off, and don't write off the possibility of psychiatric intervention with medicine. There's a lot of good medicines, although medicine's not always the answer. I think the thing to do is to be open with whatever works for you. I've heard people say, well, you know, I don't want a diagnosis, or I don't want to be on medicine the rest of my life. Don't look at the rest of your life, because as we learn in the New Testament, sometimes it's you fool. Your soul will be required tonight. So,
well, it's like with any sickness, there's the cure, but then there's also some kind of painkiller that they're going to give you in the meantime. So if there's an emotional reason that's causing the problem that needs to be dealt with in the long run, there may be some kind of prescriptive drug that'll treat the symptoms in the short run.
That's true.
And again, that's assuming which came first, the chicken or the egg. We're both fully admitting that it could be starting with a chemical problem, too. We understand that.
Right. It absolutely can either way. But the key is not necessarily getting that in order, because that's not as important as what is actually going on. And yes, if there are emotional, relational issues at hand, certainly deal with those. If there's sleep, or if there's food issues, if there's exercise issues, certainly deal with those. If there can be a medicine prescribed that works, fine. I kind of liken it to attention deficit disorder. And when I would work with people and parents would bring these kids in and they wanted medicine, that's what we want. We want medicine. And I'd be sure and let them know, do you know that the medicine will simply, if it's truly needed, it'll become obvious that the medicine will simply provide a good foundation for you then to work on focus, attention, behavior, manners with your child, because those things still need to be dealt with. And almost every time they look dumbfounded thinking, no, my child has this, the medicine should take care of it.
No, and I would think, and I'm saying this, of course, as some novice, but I would think we would never want to be on some medicine the rest of our lives, no matter what we're going through.
And that's exactly right. And parents would say that about their kids with ADD, and there's people I've talked to about with depression that say the same thing. And all I ever say to that is, I don't know what the rest of our life means. And as long as something works, if it's for depression, that's terrific. Work with your doctor. And in time, whether it's 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, in time, you can work with them to wean off. Then be honest and open enough that if the symptoms come back and you're doing these other things well, in relationship and eating, sleeping, and all that, and the symptoms still come back, give it another run. It may be that you're predisposed through, I mean, it may be that this runs in your family. It may be that you, for whatever reason, whatever has caused it to begin with, is now, it's going to be there. Sometimes it's a cyclical thing. Some people have cyclical depression. It's every year, about the same time, about 3 months. So,
well, sure, because similar seasons and similar circumstances will trigger things.
Seasonal affect disorder is absolutely one of the things to look for. And there's things to do for that that are a little different, light therapies and whatnot. So the best thing is to try to understand the best of what's going on with you. Do what you can to deal with it in a healthy way. And try not to be put off by any one thing as if it's going to be the rest of your life, because you don't know that. Just do what works. The main thing is be honest enough about it in the situation and don't walk through it alone. That's absolutely the worst.
Yeah, that seems to be one of the most important things you're saying tonight.
Absolutely. Community is everything. And again, first and foremost with God, drink deep from his water and just immerse yourself. But I would not limit it to that, because some people will berate themselves and put themselves down for, I'm reading, I pray, and I'm still depressed. Well, absolutely. Like I said, there's no, he doesn't promise to take things away from us, but he promises to walk through it with us.
He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. A yoke was something that two oxen shared. Jesus is asking to share our experiences with us. That doesn't mean there won't ultimately be deliverance, but initially it's about the relationship itself.
Yes, yes. And sometimes we're not in a position to remember that. We're not in a position to tell ourselves that. And that's why we need other people in our lives to remind us, to encourage us, to lift us up in prayer, as well as if they've gone through something similar, to walk with us in an understanding way. You know, and sometimes it can just be such a small thing to check in on a phone call. How are you doing today? Hey, did you get out and walk? Hey, let's go to lunch, whatever. Just to maintain that contact, to not allow someone to shut themselves off, because that's part of depression, and we don't want to give in to that. But we want to continually feed ourselves light. And when we can't do that anymore, we want to be around others that can also do that for us and with us. So important. Because God's the one that's going to be glorified through all of this.
Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the Law Offices of Matthew Simone.